Continue along the theme, the idea of faith, that God again is speaking to us, encouraging us in. And today I want to look at another aspect of faith. And for those of you taking notes, you can write this title, Faith Must Have Its Consecration. Faith must have its consecration. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 tells us this, which we know very well in this assembly. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Faith must have its consecration. Now, what the Apostle Paul says here to the Romans is, I exhort you, I encourage you, I advise you, brethren, that's the saints, by God's mercy, that you present yourself to him. You present yourself not as a dead sacrifice, because obviously you'd have to be taken into glory. But he says, you can present yourself that living sacrifice individually, not corporately, speaking individually now. You present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is really your service, your duty. And with that, he says, with that presenting of yourself, you're not conformed to this world, but you're transformed by the work of the Spirit, renewing, working with your mind, taking hold of your mind. Now, none of that can be accomplished unless you are willing, and it takes the mercy of God in order to do it, that you present yourself as that living sacrifice to God. And by doing that, by offering yourself up to God on that, it means then that the Holy Spirit separates you unto God, unto his will and his working. Note the word that is used, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Now, we all understand what holy or holiness means. I just remind you again, it means to be separated, to be set apart. In the case of God, it is set apart unto holiness. For God is holy, most holy. You therefore are holy, and without holiness, no man or woman shall see God. So there is the idea, again, just in passing, to be set apart. And God says that you choose that being set apart. God doesn't force you. We know what the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by God's mercy, set yourself apart. Present yourself to God as that living sacrifice, which you do by the mercy of God. Therefore, if we speak of the mercy of God, we therefore speak not only of God's mercy, but his patience, his long-suffering, his working with you, so that he'll accomplish it, which is your service. In other words, if you say you are a Christian, you are a disciple, a follower of God, then that is expected of you. and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, the second verse has to take the Holy Spirit to do that. You have offered yourself to God as a living sacrifice. Now God says, I accept that. The fire has fallen. Consume that. Receive that. That is the new birth. That is discipleship. And God proves that he's done that, accepted that sacrifice. The fire has fallen upon you. And the sign that the fire has fallen upon you is that he has baptized you in the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Spirit is that sealing of approval. Is it not? We know what that sealing is. That is a stamp. Bang. Sold. Can't buy it. I've bought it. I beat you to it. See? That's what it means. And so, the second verse then tells us that God will work with you, that you will not be conformed to this world. God will work with you, that you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the work of the Holy Spirit, that you may be able to, by that working of God, be able to discern and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, obviously, I've added a few words there, but I've simplified that to show you how God works and will work. And I'm saying all of that because faith must have its consecration. If it is to glorify God. If it's to work indeed. Much faith has and will be taught. We have heard much about the faith and prosperity, and much of that sadly has not glorified God. Why has it not glorified God? Because the faith that is presented is not a faith that works in a consecrated vessels who are set apart unto God, holiness. Do you know why? Because they have never yet presented themselves as a living sacrifice. Because in order to do so, it means that the fire is going to fall and consume the self-life up. And the self-life is what gets in the way. Because when the self-life, that kenosis experience, that self-emptying takes place, Satan knows he is losing hold. Because that is where he works. He works through the self-life. The self-life you can call the pride of man. Let's turn, if we will, to familiar chapters and verses to reiterate this. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's where they always are first. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Here it is. This word, holy, consecrated, separated, without blame before him in love. And then he goes on that he has predestined us, adopted us as sons, and so on, according to the will and good pleasure of God. Here it is. So this idea of faith that which must have its consecration in which to work has to come from God. And at the end of the day, consecration is what God can and will do. You simply have to ask for it. You simply have to offer yourself for it. And the work of the Holy Spirit indeed will do it. by his mercy and by his grace. Again, if we turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Colossians chapter 1, 22, 23. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy, unblameable, and reprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature that is under heaven, of which I, Paul, am made a minister. So in his body, his flesh, his death, his resurrection is to present you and me holy, here it is again, separated, consecrated unto him. So it had to take the death and resurrection of Christ to consecrate us, to separate us from this world. And that's how he does it now, through each of us. Whereas Israel, under the law, she had to, under that law, be separated as a nation, consecrated. Israel was the only nation separated, consecrated to God. No other nation was. And of course she kept rebelling against that. But the point is that she had the revelation of consecration. Now that is worked in you and me, individually, by faith, through the work of the Holy Spirit. But that had to take death and resurrection for consecration to take place. Couldn't happen otherwise. Because up until then, it only applied to Israel. So now it applies to the believer. And if it applies to the believer, it applies to the church. Because the church is the people, is it not? So again, here we get this idea of our consecration. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So I've not only shown you that this consecration was as a result of Christ's death and resurrection, also it's God's working of calling us, predestination, election, but now we get here in the book of Timothy, who has saved us and called us with what calling? What is this calling? A holy calling. A consecrated calling. So he cannot call you if you remain in the world and you want the world and you want God, which most are trying to do, which is idolatry. God's consecrated us, called us with a holy calling, because he knows by doing that, that is where he can deliver us from idolatry and holy at the end from the spirit of this age. It won't work otherwise. How do we know it won't work? Because the Laodicean church tells us so. And God says with that church, I will spew it out of my mouth, because it's neither hot nor cold. What is its problem? Idolatry. Wants God on its own terms. No. He says, who has saved us, call us with a holy calling, not according to our works, our ideas, what I want to decide, what I would like. No, 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 no. He says your calling, your consecration is not according to the flesh, to the intellect. And that's why we see the problems we see today. That's why we see religion today. Religion does not save man. But according to his own purpose. Right? So if it's according to God's purpose, God's plan, God's mind, well then God help us. Because none of us, well, ever, ever be able to match God's purpose and plan. But he doesn't stop there. Purpose and grace. Amen for that word. Because we don't stand a chance otherwise. If God is calling us to his own purpose, in consecration that is, and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before even the world began. That is why the pre-incarnate Christ, the Christ slain from the foundation of the world, that is why saints like Abraham were still saved by grace. Praise God for his plan. Hallelujah. You beginning to see now that everything that God does, we can boast in none of it. It is a work of grace. And this is why with faith, faith must have its consecration, in which to work, to operate, and glorify God. And this is why so much of the faith that has been propagated, that has been taught over the years, has not glorified God. My faith, my works, look at my faith, and so on. Now, there can be a place where you can look to a saint and you can say, yes, that person has a strong faith. But that strong faith that is about them, now I would encourage everyone to have a strong faith. But the point is, your strong faith is the result of your consecrated life. And your consecrated life gives God all the glory. That is the point. Where it has so gone wrong is that people have boasted in my faith. Look at my faith. Look how God loves me. Look how God is blessing me. Missed it a mile off. A mile off. We are shown in scriptures many times the Apostle Paul was the one who could boast many times if he wanted to and could have got away with it, but he chose not to. He chose to identify himself with the people. He chose to be on their level, never to exalt himself. That's why he was a great apostle. And that is it. You see, God calls us to serve. And that is what sorts this out every time. A church that will stand, this assembly that will stand, if we want to be standing in the last days, and we are in the last days, it will be as a result of a church that is serving. Serving our brother, our sister, our neighbour, and yes, at times if it's called for, even our enemy. That is the point. That is a faith that is consecrated to God. So then, taking this a step further, why has faith a need of consecration, of holiness? I've already been touching on it, but I want to take even a step further. Why does it need this? Why the faith aspect that we have been so blessed with over the years, why does it need holiness, consecration? Well, firstly, Jude tells us something about this in Jude 20. And he says here in Jude 20, but you beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So he refers to faith as a holy faith. And here we begin to get the idea again that this faith we have is a faith that is separated, sanctified to God. And you can build yourself up in the baptism of the Spirit, building yourself up in that faith. That faith to overcome, that faith to believe, that faith to embrace and believe the promises of God and so on. Very powerful, very powerful. Faith needs God's word, which is holy. For faith comes by hearing, reading the word of God. God's word is holy, and a true faith needs God's holy word in which to be built up. Now, if the word is not holy, and when I say holy, I mean in the sense that the word of God is not defiled, is not mixed with heresy, compromise, and so on, which it should not be, then that causes us to be consecrated by the word, what we hear, and that faith comes by what we hear, and it feeds off that consecrated life, which has been given to us, which we've been taught by the word of God, God's holy word. It is a holy word. Christ was the Word made flesh. He was the Lamb, that holy Lamb, set apart unto God. That's why he said, when you eat of me, you eat of me, of my word. You take of me unto yourself. So again, faith must have its consecration. Faith moves and functions in consecrated conditions. Did you know that? You say to me, but how can faith move and operate in consecrated conditions? I live in the world. I have to face the world. I have to go to work each day. I have to go to college, or I have to meet my neighbours. I have to meet my family who are not yet saved, and so on. I'm ever in a world that's not consecrated. Well, the fact is, you are, or should be. And whatever situation you may find you're in, or God may take you to, that should not affect your consecration before God. And you will know whether it is affecting your consecration before God or not, is by the way you act, by the way you come over, whether you're compromising, and so on. You see? So God shows us. And therefore, faith, to operate and to be seen, can and only must be seen and operating in those consecrated conditions. Jesus revealed this many, many times in his ministry. He mixed with publicans, tax collectors, prostitutes, you name them. All the unsavory characters that the scribes and Sadducees and Pharisees would not even look upon, regarded as the dogs, the outcasts. Why, even the disciples had problems with it. And yet here Jesus was able to minister, not only be ministered to, but they even touched him. Now, you would not have been allowed under Old Covenant law, if you're a sinner, defiled, to touch anything that was unclean. And in fact, we're told that anyone who did touch anything that was unclean in the way of the offering were automatically consecrated, made clean. That's what the law said. So Jesus was not affected by this. Even though they touched him, the woman with the issue of blood, unclean was she not. And yet she touched a consecrated faith. Because Jesus was not compromising. He wasn't coming over to her level. He remained resolute where he was. He walked in communion with his Father. He walked in a holy walk. And therefore faith could operate under those conditions and not compromise as a result. And that is why people receive their healing, their deliverance, salvation. Because he never altered. He didn't change. And we're told that the promises of God never change. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why? Because he's consecrated. And his consecration doesn't change. His consecration at this present time is as a mediator, a high priest. He consecrated himself for that office on our behalf. Why? So that we would remain consecrated, and our faith also. Can I suggest to you that sometimes what you thought was faith and it didn't work was because your consecration wasn't as it should be? Gives itself away. It's not God who's a meanie. Oh, he doesn't answer my prayers. Oh, it doesn't work. We've all done it. The fact is, for faith to glorify God and to work must have its consecration. That is the point. Now remember I said it's a work of grace, because otherwise it's impossible. It is impossible. And that is why the Holy Spirit must teach us God's anointed word. And we must be taught by that anointing. As we'll never understand or experience consecration, and we will never understand certainly faith. And this is why so much of it has gone wrong. A lot of it has become cultish. Why has Satan over the last, 30 years, even more, attacked the faith message side of the gospel? Because he knew in insight what God was about to do in restoring a remnant back to totally walking by faith and trusting God. And he's worked the best he can to try and make a sham of it. But thank the Lord, he's always one step ahead. And there is a remnant who will hear what the Spirit is saying. And who will hear that this faith that God has given us, which is a gift which I spoke about last week, is a holy faith. A consecrated faith. They will hear that. And they will be prepared for that. And move into that. And they will be prepared for their lives to be changed as a result of that. To glorify God. You see? And that is why we have to be set apart to hear and to act upon the word of God. And I bring you back to Romans 12, 1 and 2. For you to fully hear this teaching, for you to fully understand this assembly, for you to understand and experience what God is doing, you have got to be experiencing the Holy Spirit who has set you apart. Perfect, he is making you in that being set apart. So there is a degree of perfection the Holy Spirit's going to work in this life. Not sinless perfection, but as a result of consecration, now the Holy Spirit is perfecting you. He is perfecting your faith. He is working with your relationship. He is working with your attitudes, your motives, and so on. That is the perfecting work of the Holy Spirit. But you have to be set apart in order to be able to hear that. If you ain't set apart, you are not going to be able to hear it. Do you know we have so many professing Christians today who what I call are doing the circuit. And what I mean by the circuit is they go from that church to that church, from that ministry to that ministry, to that minister, to that minister. Now to me, that does not speak of a consecrated life. That speaks to me of confusion. And lo and behold, when you start talking with them, you will soon hear that confusion coming out. They're listening to this, they're listening to that. They're utterly confused. And if you stay with it long enough, they get you confused. They really do. What are you seeing? You are seeing a life that is not really consecrated. They're just confused. They go from pillar to post. Likewise, there's much to say about people like that. And they never grow, they never mature. And they can't hear what God is saying. And so they go to these various different ministers and churches to try desperately to hear what God is saying. And they have no personal relationship with the Lord. And friends, There are many who are like that. Many today on Sunday will be going elsewhere to try and find some fresh new revelation. And the enemy will cater for them. Of course he will. Because he comes like an angel of light. No consecration. Therefore, if there's no consecration, there's no faith. There's no faith to believe to embrace the promises of God's word. So faith is only for the consecrated life. Why, secondly, is it for the consecrated life? Because that is where it glorifies God. When you have allowed the Holy Spirit to consecrate you, and you are growing and moving in that consecrated life into holiness, perfection, that is where you glorify God. I know a lot of people think or have that attitude. How can anybody who goes to the full gospel assembly, just a bunch of them, some 20, 30, 40 people, poor souls, how can they glorify God? That is the attitude with a lot. They think like that. But that comes out of confusion. That comes out of a worldly mind and mentality. Because they are not experiencing consecration in their life, being set apart. Another thing about consecration. Consecration means that it is you that is consecrated, separated unto God. So that consecration on one side of it is quite a lonely work, isn't it? And the enemy can use that. And you feel yourself at times, is there many walking this consecrated walk? Am I the only one? And it can feel very lonely. It can feel at times you're the only one. And how the enemy tries to use it. But praise God, God brings us together as brothers and sisters, and you soon find that there are others who have like mind and like spirit as well, who are walking that same lonely walk. But it's not really a lonely walk, because Christ has trod it and gone before. That is the point. See, faith, this consecrated faith, this faith that is set apart unto God, will always affect what we believe, what we hold for, our testimony, our endurance. It will affect. Because it will affect those who are hearing, those who are called by God. And that is the point. And that is why in the last days I believe that true evangelism, the greater works, what we're waiting, being prepared for, we will see it, because the Holy Spirit will move the church, will move individuals to whom God has been calling and working with before even the foundation of the world. And that is why when Jesus walked this earthly walk, he was never taken by surprise. He knew who the Father had given him. He knew his followers. And he thanked and he praised God. He even prayed that priestly prayer in John 17. He could pray it. And you will pray it. And you will glorify God. For God has given the church a seed to redeem and sanctify. God has given you individually a seed. Now you go out and reap and bring them in. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, he will lead you to them. That is why. You may say, well, I haven't seen much yet. That is why we wait on our ministry. That is why we're here today. That is why God is preparing us. Because he too is going to lead you, and you will not be surprised, because you will see whom God has called from the foundation of the world. Now, you don't go and say that to people. Oh, come in, by the way, you're called from the foundation of the world. No, no. We know they're called by the way they respond. That is the point. I know whom God has called. and chosen from the foundation of the world. He has blessed me with seed for this ministry. How do I know? Because I see it. They're in front of me. Their heads are going, Amen. They are blessed. That tells me they belong to God. You see? And so we likewise go forth and reap and redeem. And that is why when your prayers are lit by the Holy Spirit, that is all part of the seed being redeemed that God has given to Christ and Christ has given to the church. Now he says, you carry on and you finish what I've started. See? But it will only ever be done by a consecrated faith, because that's what glorifies God. And see, this is why we battle sometimes when we see a promise and it's like we're trying to hold on, and you know, you haven't got that peace, because we're shown that these promises also come with a rest. You don't try to believe. You shouldn't be trying to be a Christian. You are not trying to breathe where you are seated in your chair. And as I often say, if you are, we'll come and pray for you. But the point is, you automatically do it. Your heart automatically just functions and pumps away. That is the rest of faith. That is what it is. I say it as it is. You either are or you're not. And if you're not, then be so. Get saved. Get that rest. Get that confidence, that assurance. Because that is what God does. That is what the Holy Spirit does. That means then you are consecrated. You are set apart to God. I can't try and consecrate myself. I can only, as I presented to you in Romans 12, 1 and 2, presenting myself to God. And I believe on that basis, the fire of God falls and consumes me, receives me, and the rest is the grace of God. Because you cannot offer any more than yourself, can you not? What else can you offer? If you offer your whole self, mind, body, spirit to God, then it's the mercy and grace of God says, I'll now receive it unto myself. That is it. And that is what is going to sort out the men from the boys. This is it. And this is why this church isn't packed, bursting at the seams. Although I don't ever limit God, I don't limit the Lord. I think there is going to come a time when things are going to get so bad that people are going to start to really search for who are really preaching the truth, who really are presenting it and not watering it down. So I don't limit God. I do not limit God. I believe that God adds to the church daily such as should be saved. That is a sign the church is moving on. It's healthy. But it will be the work of the Holy Spirit doing it. That is the point. And I believe that the expansion, if you like, of this assembly, not that we look to numbers, but also tends as a result of also with you. It's not just me. That's idolatrous. It is the church witnessing. It is the church functioning. It is the church moving alongside, whether it be families or individuals or neighbours. It is the church that's praying for that soul to come to Christ. That is the point. That is body ministry, you see? So, you know, when we look at this, there's a great future ahead in which God is going to glorify his name. There really is. But it will only be achieved, wrought by faith, and a faith that is consecrated.